Well, if you're able, take your Bible, and in the New Testament, let me invite you to turn to two passages of Scripture, one in Ephesians chapter 5, one in Colossians chapter 3. And if you're able, let's stand as we hear these two brief readings from God's Word, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. I'm going to begin the reading in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 18 and continue down to verse 21. Hear now the Word of God. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And then in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15 and reading down to verse 17. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Congregation, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. So I want to preach to the choir here for a couple of minutes tonight, and it will be very brief, but it almost literally is preaching to the choir, because it's the choir that would gather on a Sunday night for a service like this. I mean, you're the really hardcore believers, right, who would come together to pray the litany for 30 minutes. And what I want to introduce you to, or remind you of, perhaps better said, is the importance of singing to the Lord, not just on the Lord's Day, but every day. I don't know how many of you in your private devotions, in your daily prayer, in your family worship, I don't know what all of your habits are like. I know from some of you who have shared about your family worship habits that you do incorporate some type of singing, and that's good. And I'm not trying to set down a law in a legalistic fashion, tell you exactly what that has to look like or exactly how often that should occur. And if you are absolutely regimented and faithful every single day, then you're just going to profoundly convict all of the rest of us who struggle to be as consistent as we want to be. But I want to suggest to you that the Bible is literally full of instruction to sing to the Lord. If you have made a habit of reading through the Psalms, if you've been praying the Psalms on a regular basis, you cannot move one page in the Psalter without stumbling upon some exhortation to sing praise to the Lord. And it's not just in the Psalms. We see it in the law of God in the Old Testament. We see it exemplified in the Old Testament narratives, the prophets, the wisdom literature, the apostolic instruction here in the epistles, and the praise of Revelation. The Bible is literally full of singing. And these are passages, the two that we just read, that enjoin God's people to sing and to sing to one another and with one another. And you might immediately assume then that this is instruction about the Lord's Day service. It's instruction about corporate worship in the church's assembled services. Well, it certainly applies to those services, but if you look at the context, you'll notice this is not about the Lord's Day. And it's not about the gathering of the church. This is just general instruction. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3 are two of the most explicit sections in the New Testament giving individual believers instruction in how to live a holy life, how to be morally pure, how to be thankful, how to live in relationships in appropriate ways, whether marriage or others within the household or beyond the household. And set in the midst of that instruction, what does the Holy Spirit say? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Singing is meant to be part of the believer's daily experience of worship and of praise. Now, I know immediately what some of you are probably thinking, and that is, "Pastor, I can't sing. I don't know how to sing. I wouldn't know where to begin to sing. I feel safe reading my Bible. I feel safe saying my prayers. Singing is strange. I don't want to embarrass myself. And my spouse walks in and I'm singing. My children walk in and say, "Dad, what are you doing? Do you need medical assistance?" No, just daily prayer. Pastor Joel said to sing, right? I understand that it feels like a real challenge for some reason. It's such a simple thing. You've probably done this off and on throughout your life. You probably have broke out into song in the shower. But for some reason, when it comes to our times of worship, we feel, perhaps many of us, some kind of impediment in singing to the Lord. But of course, you know already, the Bible doesn't tell you to sing skillfully to the Lord. It doesn't tell you that you had to be a music major. It doesn't tell you that you have to know how to read sheet music or have the ability to play an instrument and accompany yourself. It just says make a joyful shout, a joyful noise to sing to the Lord. And the interesting thing is that really this was an intrinsic part of the church's worship throughout her history. For most of the last 2,000 years, it's really only in the last few hundred years that this has changed. The scriptures would be read by chanting. You wouldn't read silently, and you wouldn't read it as if you were just reading a text. You would chant your way through the Bible, which is why Augustine gets so frustrated with Jerome when he changes the translation, the familiar traditional rendering of one portion of the book of Jonah, because Augustine says the church is already used to singing it another way. And so you would sing the scriptures, and you would sing your prayers. Many of you know that many of the prayers that we offer, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Sursum Corda, that was sung in the church's historic liturgy. And some of you have seen that. Some of you participated in that. If you've been in a Roman Catholic or a Lutheran or an Anglican church, you've actually seen that happen. And so singing is just naturally a part of the way that we worship. I want you to think about the reason for that for just a couple of minutes tonight. First of all, think about what Paul joins together in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalm." Did you notice the parallel there? Just ignore the verse division and note the parallel. Don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Being drunk with wine is dissipation. Being filled with the Spirit is song. Psalmody. It's expressed by praises. It's expressed by the singing of our hearts. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not with unwholesome spirits, right? We are supposed to be people who are overflowing with the praises of God because the Holy Spirit is stirring that within us. The Holy Spirit is working within us not just to improve our Bible knowledge, not just to improve kind of our behavior in terms of sanctification, but also to improve the desires of our hearts, the thoughts of our hearts, our pleasure with God, that we would delight in the Lord, that we would long to sing to Him, and that we would do so with joy. A second thing to notice is that singing, Paul says, in both of these passages, is pedagogical, right? Ephesians chapter 5, again, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." You're actually communicating to one another and with one another in these songs. Now, I can imagine, again, some people are going to say, but doesn't that assume a corporate gathering? Well, no. As a matter of fact, it doesn't. Because Jesus describes prayer in saying, when you pray, go into your room alone. Don't stand on the street corner. Don't pray in front of a crowd. Go into your room alone and pray and say, "Our Father." So when you pray in private, you still pray in a corporate way, in a collective fashion, and similarly in song. When we are singing together in the same room, obviously we're speaking to each other. We're speaking to God, and we're speaking to one another. But how many of our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are actually addressing each other? Now, some of us have been in evangelical churches where we would ask the question the other way. We would say, how many of the hymns today actually even addressed God? Right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. There are hymns in some Christian churches that are only like we're talking to each other across the aisles. But no, most of our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we sing here don't say anything directly to each other. They speak to God and about God. But guess what? We're all hearing that. And I'm speaking in your presence, you're speaking in my presence about the Lord. And you are teaching me as we sing. and I am teaching you, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And that's still true when you are singing alone in your home, when you're singing in your prayer closet, in the privacy of those prayer hours. Singing is pedagogical. It may be apocryphal, but I've mentioned it before. Martin Luther, during his life, of course, wrote many hymns, developed the church's musical tradition in tremendous ways, and at one point is reported to have said, "Let someone else write the theology books. I'll write the hymns, because that's the theology the church is going to remember." And it's true. It's true. Those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they press truth deeply into our souls. Third, Christ's word is to live and dwell in us. And that's an active idea. Again, Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." How will that be expressed? By song. Don't let the word of God lie coldly, like it's on a slab in the morgue in your heart. Let it live within you. Let it dwell within you. Let it be alive within you, like the fire of the Spirit burning within you. How is that expressed? It's expressed in song. Song is one of the ways that that truth comes alive. It wakes up. It's a way that we meditate upon the truth that we've read in the Bible, that we've been taught in sermons, and then we respond to it with singing. And so when you're singing, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, in your car, in your prayer time, it's one of the ways that Christ's word is actually living and working within you as you respond to the word that you have heard and received and respond to it with grateful praise and prayer. And then fourth, all of this is to say that we should sing because the Christian life and the Christian faith is not merely rational. Now, it's not less than rational. I need to say that. We're not opposed to rationality here. We're not advocating for irrationality. We are very much in favor of a correspondence theory of truth and propositional truth, which is what we find in Scripture. But we don't want to reduce the Christian faith to that either. You see, we don't want to think about our Christian faith, our Christian life, as merely being a set of propositions that we have affirmed. To say, yes, I can say amen to every line of the Nicene Creed. I can fully subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith and the larger and shorter catechisms in the original non-American version. But that is the sum and substance of my faith. Well, there's no place for song in that kind of an approach. I've known Christians, I've pastored Christians who have said to me in private counseling moments, "I've never had any joy in my Christian faith. This has always been an exercise in knowing what the truth is." I know what the truth is. This is what's true. This is what's not true. And that's what being a Christian is about. But it's not what being a Christian is about. As important as the truth is, as important as those propositions are, Christianity is not merely rational, but is also doxological and emotional and spiritual. Doxological in the sense that it is a life of praise. We don't want to have a prayer life. We want to have a life of prayer. We don't want to just have a set time when we sing. We want our heart to be overflowing with praise for God that will burst out in singing at times, maybe sometimes inconveniently. We want to have our heart engaged. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And that means more than just with the thinking parts of our brain. And Christianity is spiritual because there's more to it than just the external, doctrinal aspect. There's also this internal reality that I am made by God, like God, for God. That my destiny is to live in communion with God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. And if you don't have pleasure in the truths of the Christian faith that you have given your assent to, you're doing it wrong. Respectfully, you're doing it wrong. And it may be that there is a lack of praise, that there's plenty of study, there's plenty of good doctrine in your head, but there is a lack of praise in your heart. So, all of that to say, my encouragement to you as we kind of move into the last month of this year, we're getting ready to close out this year, we're looking ahead at a new year. This is not a New Year's resolution. This is a suggestion for finishing the year well. finishing the year strong. And you're going to finish the year with some of the best historic Christian music available to you, right? Because we're moving into Advent. So start incorporating song into your daily time of prayer and worship as a family, or whether individually, or whether it is just simply scattered sporadically throughout your day. Weave song into your time of communion with the Lord. And that could be the hymns that we sing in the church. That could be aided by recordings on YouTube. That could be chanting passages of Scripture, because you say, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but I think I can do that chanting thing because it doesn't require any talent at all. However you do it, sing to the Lord and learn and grow and overflow with joy and praise as you give voice to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.